others. Let's pray together. I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We ask for your blessing upon our lives. We ask for your help in this hour. May you help us now to do your will. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. We beg of you in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to take a survey of women around the world and ask them this question, what is one of the greatest privileges that God has given to women? There's no doubt that many women would answer to be a mother. As a matter of fact, it's an honor bestowed upon a married woman to have the blessing of the Lord upon their union with their husband and conceive. She at that moment becomes a mother to the little child. And this is truly an exalted privilege and honor given to her. Then, as she gives birth and sees the little one for the first time, she feels as if she sees her own heart outside of her body. And all the love and joy the mother feels the first time she lays her eyes on the little child that the Lord has allowed her to bring into the world. And let me pause here and say that in a world that has abortions left and right, which is murder. You'll catch that by freight tomorrow. It is murder. It is an honor for a wife to become a mother. And listen to me, please. If the Lord has blessed you to be a mother, you should have a desire in your heart to be the very best mother God has privileged you to be. Now, with all this in mind, I felt the Lord leading me to simply do a brief Bible survey of different Bible mothers. Now, in this survey, I want to bring out practical lessons that not only mothers can learn from, but women can learn from, and men can learn from, and fathers can learn from. And it's my desire that through this brief survey, that the Lord will speak to all of us, especially mothers on Mother's Day, to show us what He wants us to be for His glory. Now let's look at these mothers together. I'm going to try to get through five of them, God willing, this morning. If I don't, I'll just extend it. It doesn't matter really. Number one, in Genesis chapter number 3, we come to the first mother of the Bible. Now she does not have children yet, but we see that this is the first mother of the Bible. Her name is Eve. Now if you're taking notes, I want you to write these scriptures down. Chapter 2, verse 18. Through chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 3, verse 20, and then chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Now, you understand I'm not going to read all these texts or we'll never get through today. But for time's sake, let me read chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, in this very first woman who became a mother, I'm going to be paraphrasing a lot of these stories here, just summarizing them. We see some great lessons to learn about life. Now, in our text, we see how the Lord said it was not good for man to be alone. Therefore, he made Adam a helpmeet by the name of Eve. However, he had already told Adam that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or they would die. Now, stay with me here. The devil came to the woman and lied to her about what the Lord had said and told her if she would eat of the forbidden tree that God told her not to, that she would become like a god. Eve, the first mother of the Bible, believed the devil's lie by eating the forbidden tree and also gave to Adam to eat. Now, as a result of their disobedience, they were banned from the garden and brought the curse of sin upon themselves. This is all in the text that I gave to you. And the entire human race. As a matter of fact, we're still suffering for it today. Then in chapter 4, we see Eve giving birth to Cain and Abel. Cain got jealous of his brother Abel and murdered him.
But it all started with Adam and Eve. And again, Eve had helped create this problem by disobeying a clear command of Scripture. Now, are you with me so far? That being the case, what's the lesson that we learn from this first mother? Here it is. Practical help. What I'm going to do is give you the mother's name, summarize the story, give you the lesson to help you learn something. Here's the lesson we learn. We learn from this Bible mother the effects of being discontent and disobeying God. She succumbed to the attack of the devil, get this, because she became covetous and discontent with what the Lord had already given her. She had everything in the garden except one little tree. She had God's blessing. She had God's love. She had all of this, but she was not satisfied. And because she was not satisfied and she was discontent with what God gave her, we are reaping what she sowed back in that day. Now, in the same way, God has been good to every one of us. God is a good God. He loves you and He has blessed your life. You say, how do you know? You can see me, can't you? You're wearing clothing today. You don't look like you've been starving too much, neither do I. I'm saying God has been good, but the devil will try to get you to think, boy, I wish I could get that. If I could just get my hands on that, boy, I'd really have it. And I'm telling you, discontented people are destroying America today. And it's destroying homes, and it could be destroying your home. His name was Ali Hafed. A man told about him, he owned a very large farm that had orchards, grain fields, and gardens, and he was very wealthy, and he was contented with what he had. But one day a wise man from the east told this farmer all about diamonds and how wealthy he would be if he owned a diamond mine. So Ali Hafed went to bed that night a poor man. He was poor because now he was no longer satisfied. He wanted diamonds. Craving a mine of diamonds, he sold his farm to search for the rare stones. He traveled the world over, finally becoming so poor, broken, and defeated that he committed suicide. Now stay with me. One day the man who purchased his farm that he sold led his camel into the garden to drink, and as the camel put his nose into the brook, the man saw a flash of light from the sands of the stream. He pulled out a stone that reflected all the hues of the rainbow. The man had discovered the diamond mine that was the most magnificent mine in all of history. Had Ali Hafed remained at home and dug in his own garden, he had the diamonds right under his feet. Are you listening? God wants you to stay home and dig where He's got you. Do not become a discontented mother, daughter, woman, man, son, or father. If you become discontent, you've got major problems down the pathway of life. Contempt makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor. Somebody said, as a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot, always wanting what is not. A lot of truth to that. May the Lord give us mothers. May the Lord give us Christians who are satisfied with what the Lord has given them. Content. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Number one, we've come to Eve. Secondly, turn over to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. We've come to the next Bible mother by the name of Sarah. Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1. The Word of God says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband,
Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now, here's another lady, a mighty lady of God, mind you, who was Abraham's wife. And we see in this chapter, chapter 15, verse number 18. As a matter of fact, you can just write down Genesis 15 and 16 if you want to. But we see in chapter 15, verse number 18, the Lord told Abraham that he had given land to his seed. His seed. However, in chapter 16, we see Sarah got impatient. And she felt the Lord had held her back from bearing children. Therefore she took her maid Hagar and gave her to Abraham to be his wife. As a result of their union, there was a baby boy by the name of Ishmael born. Later the Lord blesses Abraham and Sarah's union with a baby boy when she was supposed to be beyond childbearing age. His name was Isaac. And Isaac and Ishmael's seed. Ishmael's seed, who is it? The Arabs. Muhammad, the Muslims, are you listening to me? They are still at odds today. And what I want to tell you here, there's the summary of the story. What's the lesson we learn? Here's the lesson. We learn from this Bible, Mother, the effects of being impatient concerning the promises of God and getting ahead of the Lord's timing. And because she got ahead of the Lord and became impatient, look at the mess that's going on today. As Martin Luther often said to people who came to him with their problems, he said this, let God be God. You cannot say I and God and expect God to lead you. You must say God and I. God first, myself second. God to lead and I to follow. Adoniram Judson labored 7 years before he had one convert. And once writing to England, he said, and I quote, beg the churches to have patience. If a ship were here to carry me to any part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren success is as certain as the promise of a faithful God can make it. Powerful. John Bradley said, it's attempting to reach the top at a single leap that so much misery is caused in the world. Do not get ahead of God. Trust His promises. Do not allow impatience to govern your life. Now there's a fine line, and one thing that I wish this church would pray for me as your pastor. This is one thing I'm praying. Lord, help me not to get ahead of you. At the same time, help me not to lag behind you. There's a fine line there. And I've got to have God's wisdom to know where He wants us to be. At the same time, watch out. Because if the devil can get you out in front of God, are you listening? You'll wreck your life. You'll make an awful mess of things. Because you've got to have God in front of you leading you, because God knows where the potholes are. He knows that that's dangerous, and He knocks it out of the way, and you just stay behind Him and follow the Lord. Where we get in trouble is when we get in front of God. And say, God, you just stay back there. Let me. You're my co-pilot. You ever seen that sign on a car? Thank the Lord, He's not my co-pilot. I don't even want my hands on the steering wheel. Amen. I want Him to drive it. Don't get ahead of God. James 5:7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. May the Lord give us mothers and Christians who wait on God. One of the hardest things to do in the Christian life is wait on God. It's one of the hardest things to do. The preacher told me, trained me, he's still training me. And I'm glad that when I've got a question, I can go in and there's Moses sitting in that office. And I say, Moses, what would you do? That's a gold mine. Amen. But one thing he tried to teach me is patience. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything.
Just keep going God's way, doing God's thing. And you know what I've learned? And you try to train me in this. I'm thick-headed. When you wait, most of the time, the Lord works it out for you. Most of the time. We get in a hurry because, what?
You do that and God's not in it, you got trouble.
Wait on God. There's a second one. Number three, turn to Genesis chapter 19. We go to a lady, don't even have her name. We have her husband's name. His name was Lot. So let's look at Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19, look at verses 20. You can write down verses 1 through 26, but for time's sake, I'm going to read verses 24 to 26. Genesis chapter 19. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, the mother of his children, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Now, in this story, Genesis chapter 19, I just read three or four verses there for you, four verses. In this story, we see how the Lord graciously came in and he told Lot about the upcoming destruction of Sodom. Now, in other words, they were living in Sodom. And the Lord sent these angels, sent these men to tell them about the upcoming destruction. However, instead of immediately following the Lord's direction, in verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 19, we see how the men had to grab them and brought them outside the city. Now, as they were leaving, they were given a command not to look back at the city unless they would be consumed. However, we see when they were traveling away from the city, Lot's wife looked back toward Sodom and was made into a pillar of salt. You say, Joe, do you believe that? Every word of it. In other words, even though her body, get this, even though her body was out of the city, her heart was not. Now, what's the lesson we learn from this? We learn from this Bible, mother, that it is disastrous when a person has a heart for the world instead of for the will of God. It cost Lot's wife her own life. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying this, listen to me, please. God is not impressed with our obedience if he does not have our heart along with it. Did you hear what I just said? Let me give you something that you can understand what I mean here. If you have children, let's say that I'm your child. And say you as my mom or my dad come up to me and say, go clean your room. And I go, I go in, I slam the door. I clean my room, I come back out and I say, I did it. You happy now? Let me ask you a question. Are you impressed with my obedience? Huh? I'll give you a hint about what you should do with me when I come back out. What am I saying? I'm saying God is not impressed with obedience if your heart's not in it. God wants your heart. See, the problem is Christians are trying to do things out of duty instead of out of desire. They're trying to go soul winning because they're supposed to instead of loving God, and God gives them a desire to go do it. What am I saying? I'm asking, who has your heart? Does God have your heart? Matthew 15, 8, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, this is Jesus speaking, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. That's what he said. Mark 7, 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. 1 John 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. May the Lord give us mothers and Christians who love God more than they love the world. Lot's wife was a lady that even though she was taken out by God's grace, Her heart was so much in it that she disobeyed the command of God and looked anyway. Christians are still living that way today. And it's not right.
Number one, we've noticed Eve, discontent. Sarah, impatience. Lot's wife, a heart for the world instead of a heart for God. Number four, turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And you can write the entire chapter down, just chapter 27, but for time's sake, look at verse 6. And Rebekah, here she is, here's the next mother, Rebekah, spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison to make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flocks, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats. And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now in this story, we see Rebekah and Isaac have two sons by the names of Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest, and Isaac was going to bestow or put a blessing upon him after he brought him some of his signature venison to eat. However, Rebekah, get it, here it is, was partial to her son Jacob, while Isaac was partial to Esau. Genesis 25, 28 says, And Isaac loved Esau because he didn't eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. She happened to overhear when Isaac told Esau his plans. And as a result of her favoritism, she put together her own plan to trick Isaac into thinking Jacob was Esau in order to get the blessing. Now after all this took place, Jacob had to run for his life because Esau wanted to kill him. Rebekah would die before Jacob returns home returns home several years later. And even though Esau's anger was not right, it was helped by the favoritism shown by Rebekah with Jacob. Now, I'm gonna say this. The lesson we learn here is from this Bible mother is that all children are to be treated equally. There is not to be shown any favoritism to one child at the expense of the other child or children. Favoritism does not create peace in the home. It creates turmoil. And in the same way, you might have two separate children, three children, five children, and some of those children remind you of yourself so you don't like them too much. You know it's the truth, don't you? That's why you're laughing. You know I'm exaggerating. You love all of your children. That's common sense. But you have to watch favoritism. You have to watch it. You know the great thing about our God? There's a series I've got on my heart about mimicking the master. How should fathers treat their children the same way God the Father treats them? How should husbands treat their wives the same way God, our husband, treats us as his bride? You see where I'm going with that series? But the great thing about God is he's not partial. He treats all equally. And he laid his life down for every one of us. In the same way, God wants us not to be a parent that shows favoritism. The Bible tells us in Acts 10, 34 and 35, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. James 3, 17, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, get it, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see the effects of favoritism. Then we go to our fifth mother. This is the last one for this morning. Flip over to the book of Joshua chapter 2. The book of Joshua chapter 2. Anybody know the mother in Joshua chapter 2? Huh? Her name is Rahab. Now, she doesn't have children, I don't think, at this point, but maybe she does. I'd have to look at this and really study it out. But the language used, I'd have to look at it. I'm not saying she doesn't, I'm not saying she does, but anyway, we know she becomes a mother because she's in the lineage of Christ in Matthew chapter 1.
For reading's sake, look at verse number 12. Now therefore I pray thee, this is her speaking, swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token. You save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. It shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that he will that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she led them down by a cord through the window. In verse number 16, and she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days. If the pursuers be returned afterward, may you go your way. Verse number 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come to the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And in this chapter, we see Joshua. You can write down the entire chapter for context. But we see Joshua sending spies to view this city of Jericho. This was a part of the promised land that the Lord had already promised to give the Israelites. And while they're there, they came into a harlot's house by the name of Rahab. This dear lady who's in the lineage of Christ in Matthew chapter 1 knows the Lord will give Jericho into the Israelites' hands. Therefore, she pleads with these men to show mercy to her and her family when they come and take the city. These spies tell her to take a scarlet thread and put it in the window to identify her exemption from their judgment. They then told her to bring into the house, identify with the scarlet thread, her family. And whoever was inside the house identified with the scarlet thread would be spared in judgment. She listened to these men and placed the scarlet thread in the window and brought her family into the house where they would be safe. And when judgment came, they were exempt. And they were taken out of the city. Now, in this we see how Rahab was a lady who became a mother that identified herself and her family with the scarlet thread, which is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the lesson that we learn from this mother? The lesson we learn from this Bible mother is how a mother should be identified herself with the blood of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, she should make sure she does everything she can to make sure her children are in the family too. The greatest thing that can be said about a mother is that she is a child of God and she actively seeks the salvation of her entire family. Amen. For instance, this scarlet thread provided identity. When they went into the city, when they saw the scarlet thread, it identified that house. Don't touch that house. Secondly, that scarlet thread promised exemption. That right there, that house is exempt. Don't touch it. Don't kill anybody in there. They are exempt. Thirdly, it protected everybody that was identified by it. Anybody who was inside that house was safe. Fourth, it produced the only way of escape. The only way somebody could escape the judging hand of God in Jericho was to be identified inside the house with the scarlet thread. And in the same way, God Almighty sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And He says, if you trust Him as your Savior, He identifies you with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the judging hand of God that will fall someday will not fall on you because you've been exempt. It also protects all that are identified. Anybody who makes the choice to come into the family of God and trust Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary, they're safe forever and ever and ever. And number four, under this, it produces the only way of escape. If you want to make it to heaven, dear mother, if you want to make sure your children make it to heaven, you must go God's way, not your own. There's teachings that say there's many roads to heaven. Show that to me in the Bible. You're not going to get that in the Bible.
Matter of fact, you didn't get in the Bible. You got in some other man-made book. Jesus Christ, the last time I checked in John 14:6, says, I am the way, the truth, the life. He didn't say a way. He said the way. He is the only way. Blood must be shed. And God the Father demands a blood sacrifice. And yet many years ago, back in what they called the House of Terrors, the Dutch rebelled against King Philip II. And to try to help in this revolt, he started sending soldiers house to house and busting in the homes and killing them. The House of Terrors comes out because there was a family that was gathered and they heard the soldiers approaching, and the thousand terrors gripped their soul. Until one in that house looked over and saw a goat in the home. And he grabbed that goat, he had an idea, and he grabbed it and he killed that goat and took the blood and put it at the bottom of the door and took a broom and started sweeping the blood underneath the door, because they were on the inside, but the blood was coming out from under the door. And they heard the soldiers' footsteps coming towards the door. And all of a sudden they started to barricade the door. And all of a sudden they heard, wait a minute, the work's already been done here. There's no need to go in. And those people survived because when those men saw that blood, they thought their blood had been spilt. In the same way, the death angel comes, God's holy judgment comes, and he says, I demand blood. I'm talking about I want you in heaven, but the only way you're going to go is if you trust my son and his shed blood on Calvary. If you deny him, you will die without Christ and go to hell. But if you trust him, when he comes to you and you're identified with the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, wait a minute. This one's on his way to heaven because the job, the work, has already been done here. I wonder today, are you a mother who's identified with the scarlet thread? Are you a mother who's doing everything you can to make sure your children are identified with the scarlet thread of God's precious son's blood? These are five mothers. Eve, her lesson is discontent. Sarah, her lesson is impatience. Lot's wife, her lesson is God wants your heart, not just your obedience. Rebecca, her lesson is favoritism. But oh, we end with Rahab. And her lesson is she was identified with the scarlet thread, which pictures the blood of Christ. And she made sure her family got in too. What a lady. And I hope that God is speaking to you. God willing, we'll give you five more tonight. May the Lord help us with this. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, would you take this lesson and would you use it in a mighty, mighty way? May the will of God be done. Draw people to yourself. Now your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through softly. These five mothers are such tremendous, tremendous lessons for us all. And even though I ended with Rahab, I'm going to start with Rahab in the invitation time. Are you an individual who knows without a doubt that you are identified with the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you know that if the death angel came knocking at your door, do you know if the righteous judgment of God was set for you today, do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? I'm not asking, what do you believe? I'm not asking that. I'm asking, have you done what the Bible has said to do? Have you trusted Christ in Christ alone? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Is God pricking your heart? Matter of fact, let me ask it this way. If you say, Jody, I know without a doubt I'm a Christian. Now listen, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. Please, please, please don't play games. Don't lie to the Lord. You can't do it. If you say, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I don't hope so, I know so. Been a time in my life when I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. If that's you, be honest, raise your hand in the air, please. I know there's been a time. God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you for being honest. Are you sitting here today and you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. You might be a mother. You might be a dad. You might not be either one. You might be married. You may be a single person. You may be a widow, I don't know, but you say, Jody, I'm being honest, I could not raise my hand to that. I do not know that I'm identified with the blood of Jesus Christ.
And if what you preach is true, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You couldn't raise your hand to that. Thank you for being honest. Is there one say, Jody, this is me? Now, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you, I'm not going to do any of that. I just want to know how to proceed so we can help you the best way we can. If you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, pray for me. I could not raise my hand to that question a minute ago. And I want to be honest again. Be an honest person right now. I'm not going to come to your seat or call you out, but right now, would you lift your hand in the air, please? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. God bless you. Thank you. In the balcony. Somebody else. Somebody else. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure, but I know this. I don't want to miss it. Anybody else along with these two? Now, if you raise your hand to that, I want you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out, but I want you to look right up here at me. Now, in just a moment, I want you to look because I want to make sure you're with me. I'm going to explain to you how we do it, okay? And nobody knows who we're talking to. It's just you and I. Brother Gary was helping me. In just a moment, we're going to have the congregation to stand. And we'd like to take a man with a man, a lady with a lady, to take a Bible and let you see for yourself. See, we don't want you to ever take things for granted. We don't want you just to take our word for it. We want you to see it for yourself in God's word. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we're going to do in just a moment. And I hope you'll come. I hope you'll come. May the Lord help you. Now you say, Jody, I'm a mother. But as you're working down through these, there is something that God is speaking to me about, whether it be discontent, whether it be impatience, whether it be loving the world, whether it be favoritism, whether it be trying to get my family members identified with the blood of Christ. Just like Rahab actively went out and tried to get them in. Maybe God's dealing with you about that. You say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I'm a mother, and God is speaking to me about something. And you be honest. Would you be an honest lady? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest lady. Yes, I believe God is speaking to me. God help you. May the Lord help you with this. Amen. Have you say, I'm just a Christian, but God is speaking to me about something that was said or something that wasn't said. You say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me. And I want to do business with the Lord. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. May the Lord help you. God help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our altar workers are making their way to the front, please. Father, take it and use it and help it in a mighty way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place and would you come? Right now is your time. Right now is your time.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
You're still standing. I like you to look this way. Have you all have a mother that's already on the other side? Would you raise your hand? You have a mother over there? Let me ask you a question. What would you say to the young people whose mothers are still here? Amen. Young people, listen to me, especially if you're a teenager. I refuse to swallow it that it's just being a teenager. It's just part of growing up. Hogwash. Ridiculous. Let me ask you a question, young person. What if you get a phone call this week that your mom dropped dead of a heart attack? Would you be satisfied with how you've treated them? You don't know what they do. They won't let me do anything. Praise God for it. And you will too when you get their age. Amen. You don't understand it right now. Feel like you're in bondage. But when you become their age, you'll say,
Was I really that dumb? By the way, you reap what you sow. Go ahead and live your life. God help when you have children. What goes around comes around. That's a Bible principle. What am I saying? If you got a mother, tell her you love her. Tell her you appreciate her. I'm telling mine publicly. And my dad both. I appreciate them. God's used them in my life. We're dealing with folks here. You don't mind that, do you? It's good that we're dealing with folks, you know. May the Lord help us with this. I cannot emphasize enough to you about next week. If everybody doubles themselves, we're going to have to put chairs out. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to have to put chairs out next week? Amen. Would you like to see that? How are we going to see it? You do your part. You double yourself. I'm going to try to double myself too. Amen. See people walk the aisle and trust Christ. I'm expecting it. I hope you expect it too. Amen. Please pick up some of these flyers as you leave today. Please. Pass them out. Have y'all already invited somebody to come be with you? Would you raise your hand? You've already invited somebody. Yes. I hope more of us will do that. Knock your neighbor's doors. Talk to people. If you're visiting with us for the very first time today, thank you for being here. God bless you. Please take your card back to the Welcome Center and drop it off. We've got a special gift for you just for saying thank you. Okay? No doubt about it. Good. Tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to be giving you five more of these mothers. Five more of them. Five more of them. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you and help you. Very good. Very good. We'll get this information here and then we'll be on our way, okay? Have you going to mother's house for dinner today? Would you raise your hand? You're going to mama's house? I raise both hands for that. Good. Very good. Amen. You're glad you saved, aren't you? Let's do our part to get others in. No doubt about it. Amen. That's a dangerous leap for me right there, folks. Great. Denise. This is Denise Dennison, and she's coming forward today. She knows that she's been saved, but she's coming to rededicate her life to the Lord. That's a thrilling thing. We're happy for you. This is the starting point. Now, stay with us. This is not the only church, but we're going to help you. We'll try to help you as much as we can. Be great to get her in your class, Nathan. Be a great thing to do that. Amen. If you're happy for her, say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Preacher Lassiter, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. Please be back tonight. Prayer meeting at 6:10 in the chapel. Service at 6:30. God bless you.